All right, welcome back to the Steve Gribble Show. Glad to have you here. Back in October here on the program, in mid-October, we had Bob Delaney on the show. Bob Delaney has worked for the Department of Environmental Quality in Michigan for more than 30 years. And he's been warning for many, many years that there is a problem with these long-chain fluorocarbons, things called PFASs, PFAS, and PFOS, and PFCs. He said you have problems at Wurtsmith Air Force Base, KI Sawyer, Camp Grayling, Alpena. Any plant that did chroming, which we had about 2,000 in Michigan, tanneries, car washes, furniture factories, refineries, which, by the way, at one time we had 51 of those in Michigan. The point that he was making is that there was a water contamination problem that was systemic across the entire state of Michigan. And what's happening in Rockford with the waterproofing chemicals that were used at Wolverine Worldwide were just the tip of the iceberg, he said. Bob was on this program for 2 hours. He laid out a compelling case of the problems we face, that face things like the world-famous Ausable River near Wurtsmith Air Force Base and the drinking water, and the problems that come from those that consume that water, being colon cancer or thyroid disease, possibly autism, and the list goes on and on and on. The problem, he said at that point on the program, was that he had issued a nearly 100-page report that he had co-authored in 2012 that was ignored by Dan Wyant, then the director of the DEQ. Dan Wyant, of course, lost his job during the fiasco in Flint with the water problems there. But now we're told by Bob Delaney's attorney, Bob's not allowed to talk to us anymore. Bob, if he talks to us again, will be fired. So we're working on our own, but we know some things have happened. We know that the DEQ started a task force, a fast strike team, if you will, in response to what we did here on the program. The governor got involved. The DEQ is out testing. As of yesterday, at least 28 sites around the state have been officially identified as having water contamination issues, but we don't stop there because our next guest knows a thing or two about being threatened and bullied when you bring up the uncomfortable notion that somebody is poisoning their neighbors. You know her name. Her name is Erin Brockovich. She's an environmental and consumer advocate made famous by Hollywood as well. Erin, welcome to the program.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
So glad to have you here. You know a thing or two about people telling you to sit down and keep quiet. It didn't work very well for you. I'm sorry that Bob can't come back and join us right now. He will at some point. But the fact of the matter is these chemicals that are involved with firefighting foam and waterproofing and a whole host of things like Teflon, they're ubiquitous in America. They're ubiquitous in the environment. And unfortunately, people have known it for a long time and done very little about it until now. You are coming to Michigan because there are problems here, talking to people here. What do you know about these chemicals, and where do you start?
Well, first of all, I'll start. I'm really sorry I missed that interview with Bob. That was quite an intro you just had there, and actually quite shocking. That really goes to the point of, you know, the biggest problem that we have here, and the biggest problem, you know, out in Hinckley when I began, was this cover-up and the lack of transparency to the people that somebody or many have known for a long time that a compound lurks in your water, in your drinking, and they say nothing. It amazes me. I don't even think I have the words to express enough how baffled, frustrated, actually outraged that I am, that I think all of us should be. That, oh my God, it's been 20 years plus since I was out in Hinckley, that this problem not only continues, but it's worse than we've ever seen it.
And you make some great points there, Erin, because the point that we made with Bob and his 100-page report from early 2012 being ignored by the Department of Environmental Quality here in Michigan was that was just the latest report. He's been trying to get people's attention for years and years, and he's one guy out there trying to say, listen, we have a problem here. You have to tell people there's a problem. He says the U.S. government knows it. He says the problem is it's too big to fix, because one of the key components here, one of the products, if you will, that propagated this poison is this triple F firefighting foam that creates a seal. Now, it works very well if you have a plane on fire. It seals the fire. It's important to have on an aircraft carrier or at an Air Force base or at every commercial airport in America, which it's still there today. He said the problem is nobody ever cleaned up after themselves, because you have to clean up after yourselves because these compounds are so they're so indestructible, they'll remain in the environment maybe forever. But the problem is well known, and you're right. People knew about it. People ignored it. People are still trying to ignore it today. Unbelievable, isn't it?
It really is, and he is correct on the PFOS, PFOS, PFOA. They're all part of the perfluorocarcinogenic acid categories that is rampant because so much of industry, if not all of industry, used it. And it's a problem clearly in Michigan. I heard you mention you've got 28 sites up there, and, you know, I work with the Wurtsmith, and that has been something that has been known and is a huge problem as well. We deal with this compound not only in America but in other countries. I work with it in Australia. They're having a major, major problem. And in the U.S., we're in Alabama, Pennsylvania, New York, New Hampshire, West Virginia, Vermont, Michigan, Colorado, Minnesota, California. I mean, state after state after state. And this is a compound that is extraordinarily difficult to get out of the environment. It's very pervasive.
It's very pervasive. In fact, you know, I'm going to jump in because I'm going to give a little bit of credit. Mm-hmm. Once the current Michigan governor, who had a lot of difficulties with what happened at Flint, has been very proactive. Rick Snyder has, the governor, and I give him credit because I don't believe he was aware of that 2012 report. I think it was contained within the DEQ. It was never given to him from what we can tell. But as soon as he found out and he heard the report with Bob Delaney here on this program, he put together a task force. Now, I said 28 sites. That's so far. He's also moving forward so that Michigan right here, by next year, we will have labs in Michigan. We won't have to ship the water samples out of state. We'll be able to test right here. We're being proactive, finally. It may be a little bit late, but compared to a whole lot of other states and the federal government at military bases, like you mentioned, all over this country, like Fort Bragg, North Carolina, maybe the most polluted piece of real estate in North America, at least we're doing something in Michigan. We're stepping forward, and I do give him credit for that. Go ahead.
I am glad to see finally that something's being done. And isn't it, you know, the irony in it. I mean, you create an entire Department of Environmental Quality, and this isn't just about Michigan. This is happening in every state as well. It's Department of Environmental Quality, yet at many times they're the very ones that are not moving information along, not sharing information, concealing information, and they're supposed to be the very ones protecting it. And so the behavior is outrageous. And one thing I do want to share, really what happened here with the PFOA, and let's back all the way up to the manufacture of this, the new in the 60s, that this chemical caused problems. I've seen documents where our government has warned the Australian government the danger of this chemical back in the 90s. This has been decades. And what happens, and what's very frustrating, is how the EPA works and where their hands are tied or not tied. But these compounds, we do it ass backwards. We have like 80,000 chemicals introduced into the marketplace. We put them on the marketplace first. Everyone drinks them and gets exposed to them in varying different degrees and ways over a long course of time. But we throw them out there first and then take 10 to 15 years to and then go, oh, you know what? Oops, Houston, we have a problem. Shocker, this chemical causes cancer. Uh-oh, now everybody goes crazy. Now we have to slash the levels that, for this chemical in particular, PFOA, PFOS, had a, quote, guideline. They have to slash it in half. So now every municipality in America is running around going, what the hell? What do you mean we have to slash it in half? We don't have the budget for that. We don't have the filter for that. You told it was okay for us to deliver that amount. So now everybody's scurrying around. And this happened in May 2015. I remember five cities from Alabama contacting me. Everybody's screaming their heads off, and they had to shut down the water. So now we have this problem where science has finally caught up with, I don't know, policy, the law, where we've got a compound that causes causes cancer. We now know, oh, this compound causes thyroid cancer, kidney cancer, testicular cancer.
Well, here's the point that I think that is interesting in all of this, and I want to jump in because one of the other connections is to autism. And isn't it interesting to note the expanse of autism over the last several decades, from something that wasn't particularly common to something that's extremely common now, autism in boys and girls, of course. And it makes one wonder, because these chemicals, you know, they build up in your body. It's not like you flush them out. They stick, they stay. And it makes you wonder if there's a threshold at which point something changes in a young person and causes them to go from being normal, which we have seen, to becoming autistic on the scale from one level to another. I'm speculating a bit, but it makes you wonder what the connection could be as you look at these chemicals and you look at people that did know. The United States military began using this firefighting foam in earnest after World War II. You look at the things that have been used, like Teflon or these waterproofing compounds that have been used on boots and in frying pans, and it makes you wonder
everywhere.
I mean, it's ubiquitous. This stuff is everywhere, but it makes you wonder, is there a threshold at which point certain people that might be more, you know, biologically susceptible cross a line that fouls them up, frankly, for lack of a better term?
Well, you know, this is a fascinating conversation and an amazing point that you bring up that I talk about constantly. Let's go back to when we were in kindergarten, all of us. We knew, correct? Rat poison was a poison, right?
Kind of set it right on the box.
And that poisons hurt you. Poisons can kill you. Yet over time, we've been eroded into this false sense of security and idea that, oh, we can be exposed to all these chemicals, which are poisons. And we've now disassociated that somehow it doesn't harm us, is the biggest lie of all. And talking about autism, I have known off and on for years, dealing with toxicologists and those studying in around these sites, that they in fact are pesticides, herbicides, seeing more and more autism. What on earth makes us think that, first of all, we're under a huge assault? We're not talking about one chemical here. Let's talk about the other compounds that are lurking in and around these areas, like chromium-6, which tanneries definitely use, trichloroethylene, 1,4-dioxane. Let's add all these synergistic compounds, and we're still having the argument, oh, this does not affect an individual health, is outrageous. I think that all of us are seeing that it does. The horse is way left the barn. Yes, we have a huge problem. It's enormous. But we have got to, and I applaud Bob Delaney, I applaud you for those that are coming forward speaking about it, because nobody, not up in near Wolverine, not at Wardsmith, not anywhere else I've been in Michigan, in Flint, anywhere else in the United States, can even begin to protect their health and welfare and make an appropriate choice on their drinking water if they don't know what's going on.
If they don't know what's in the water, how can you make a decision about your water and your family and your health if you don't know what's in it? Aaron Brockovich.
You can't.
With us here on the Steve Gruber Show. Aaron Brockovich with us here today. Environmental and consumer advocate. You know, as I listen to you, Aaron, I can hear you getting ratcheted up, and I appreciate that.
Oh, I get worked up.
Yeah, you're passionate about this because this is real. And you look at the case that happened in West Virginia. 3M stopped making the product. DuPont said, we still want the product. Tell you what we'll do. We'll build our own factory and continue to make this product that's killing the cows, that's making the family down the hill from the dump sick. And nobody would talk to the guy. Because in Parkersburg, West Virginia, DuPont was king. And so nobody would even talk. His cows are dying. You know, their eyes are sunken in. They're acting strange. And they open them up and they're green and the organs are green. And nobody pays attention. It's because of these chemicals right here. Not the chromium-6 and the other things you mentioned, but those could have been there as well. But primarily PFAS, PFOS, PFCs, this family of chemicals. And everybody ignored him until... Well, thankfully, one attorney came along that decided to sink his teeth into it, and he stayed with it. And so you see this, and you mentioned, 15 or 20 states you rattled off here a minute or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is going on everywhere. I mean, the problem is, it's so enormous, it's too expensive. As Bob Delaney put it, he says, it would take more money than Michigan has in its annual budget to begin to address the problem. Where do we go from here?
Correct. Well, one, okay, where we go from here is how we don't continue to do this moving forward into the future. And, you know, once again, politics get involved in everything, right? And it is really frustrating. But we have got to, first of all, on this chemical alone, now I do know that there is legislation happening in New York. I do know that they are pushing federally. I've worked on resolutions here in California on this chemical that have now become resolutions for all the military bases here to begin the process of where we're going to start finding money for these cleanups and passing some legislations and changing policies as we move forward. That's one thing that has to be done. We cannot continue. Whatever we're doing isn't working. So we have to change, and we've got to change policies. This is where a lot of this is going to begin. Two, we've got to take what funds we do have and initiate some cleanup. And there are many, by the way, there are many states, and I really applaud the state of Alabama for their municipal systems and the $38 million filtration system they put on to get the PFOA out of the water. I'm not talking that it will continue to be very persistent in the environment, which is a problem, and they're experiencing that down there in North Carolina right now, but in the drinking water and removing it. Two is the task, the daunting task of getting to the communities and getting them informed and arming them with information so they have a beginning shot at protecting themselves. Three is getting these states, and this is what a lawsuit will seek, immediate blood testing so we know exactly what's happening with the health and the welfare of that community and begin monitoring their health. You know, that is one of the things that we do know about cancer is early detections can be a cure. So those are three things that we can implement immediately to provide some course of action for the residents. Now, we're going to have a very long haul with legislation and a very long haul with cleanup, but that doesn't mean we can't begin the process, and it sure as hell doesn't mean, oh, well, it's just so big, there's nothing we can do about it, that we stand down and we do nothing about it.
Well, we're doing something about it today. Aaron Brockovich here on the Steve Gruber Show. As you look at some of these lawsuits, do you think that's enough to get people's attention? Because what's going to happen here is Wolverine will foot the bill. But what it makes me think about as you're talking there is that these chemicals, as we've talked about, are everywhere. You know, they're in our frying pans. They're in the water, potentially. They may have been in the fish that I caught and ate from pick your lake around Michigan or around the country, for that matter. And so what if my levels of these chemicals are high in my blood, but I don't live next to a Wolverine, or I don't live next to somebody that I can say, now, wait a second, you guys did something to the water here. I don't live downhill from a dump site, but I have these high levels, or my children do, or my children have gotten, you know, some sort of an affliction, or, you know, God forbid, somebody in my family gets an odd cancer. Who do I turn to? And that's, I think that's what we're talking about here, because it's so prevalent in so many places that we need to change legislation, change policies, and start figuring out how do we get to a point that we don't just introduce chemicals into the environment that we don't have any idea. We have no idea what they do to people.
Oh, absolutely. Now, that's going to be an enormous fight, and that's the chemical industry. And they're up there lobbying all day long with all kinds of money. I mean, that will just be a throwdown. Sorry, I don't know how else to say it.
That
fight, I'm sure it will be, is coming. This PFOS, PFOA, this is not a naturally occurring compound. So if it's in somebody's water, it found its way to you for a reason, and mm-hmm. it's coming from a company that dumped it. And a lot goes on underneath our feet in the water world that none of us ever see. It's not like it's frozen underneath your feet. It moves around. So these aquifers get contaminated with these massive amounts of chemicals, and it moves around, and water will find its way downstream and in and out of many people's wells and municipalities. And again, as you've seen, it's everywhere. And it's an enormous problem. So a person that is on their own well water, and let's talk about that for a quick moment because you have a lot of this going on up in Michigan. is about 40 million Americans that are on their own private well waters, which is a system completely off the grid, other than the individual. And what are they supposed to just guess of what 80,000 chemicals they should monitor for in their well? And the testing is outrageous. Nobody knows what's going on. And so if somebody in their private well, or they've heard from their municipality, and the municipalities will move pretty fast, and they'll get bonds or find the budget to get the filtration. People at their own home, there are some filtrations in homes, top sink mounts, that can help reduce the PFOA level.
That's right.
But if you have no litigation, what you do have is you are armed now with information, whether it be get filtration on your wellhead or get filtration at your sink tap. Get to your doctor, get a blood draw so you at least have a baseline and know where you are so you can begin to monitor your health and at least begin to reduce and remove that contaminant out of your life.
You make a good point about a couple of things. Activated charcoal. Activated charcoal, I mean, I've made several calls to the big water companies around here. Ironically, one of the best is named Wolverine. They're actually considering not using that name going forward because of the obvious reasons. But they've been here since the 40s. They say activated charcoal does a lot. Reverse osmosis helps some. So there are things that you can do, but you're right about the testing. The testing is expensive. $450 is the number that I've heard to have your water tested to see if it has these chemicals. For example, I have a home that's not far from a site that had a tannery for 80 years. Well, that tannery was closed down in about 1985, maybe. It was on the shores of a big lake here in Michigan, Charlevoix. And it has to make you wonder, what were the chemicals coming out of that tannery that made boot leather 8 million pounds a year for many years? And what is the end result? Well, the end result is deeply concerning to me and anybody else. I mean, this is a picture-perfect lake, as a lot of lakes in Michigan and Minnesota around the country are. They look beautiful. The sunsets are great. The trees look wonderful. You don't realize that these chemicals could be in there that could negatively impact you with colon cancer and thyroid disease, autism, whatever it may be, because nobody's quite sure, because nobody's had enough time to do the research. And I think that testing is the place to start. We've got to find a way to get that testing to be more prevalent, therefore more cost-effective. I think that's a good place to start.
Well, it is, and it's a good place to start, you know, with the states and what they can do for these citizens. You know, in Hoosick Falls, New York, they have a PFOA contamination, and there was a company that dumped it, St. Gobain. I watched the most amazing thing happen that I think said it all, and if this is where we're at, I really worry for us. Children drink water, yes? So
last time I checked,
we have all these children, 8, 9, 10 years old, that have these huge PFOA levels in their blood. Same thing in Michigan. That's why we want to know what it is. We now know it's a cancer-causing compound. Are we dare saying that these children at 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, this chemical doesn't leave your body, has a long latency period, that their future is cancer? So these children, and we had a problem up there because of, quote, statute of limitations issues, they marched in Albany on the governor, children, and they had placard cards roped around their neck with their PFOA blood levels. It was a sight to be seen. Now, the governor made immediate actions, called out the Department of Health, immediately doing blood testing, immediately beginning to look at filtration for people on wells, immediately calling this out and allowing the statute set aside so a litigation could move forward for these people.
Mm-hmm.
So as we discussed in the very beginning in your comment about your governor, Rick Snyder, and putting together a task force, you have to mobilize fast, but the first step is you got to do it. You got to realize the problem is there.
Well, they put together the strike team, so they're out of the gates. And so once again, I don't know, because to be honest with you, Aaron, I didn't know about these chemicals a couple of years ago. I mean, it's a more recent thing. It's been out there. You've talked about it. Other people have talked about it. It didn't hit us in the face till, well, it hit us in the face. And once we realized it was there, I give this governor credit. He has a learning curve from what happened in Flint, obviously, and he has stepped up and put together this quick strike team, if you will. They're running all over the place testing water, and he's putting together labs so we can test our own water by 2018. That's smart. He's trying to figure out what's going on as fast as he can. So I do give him credit, but there's a lot of work to do. And as you know, as you travel from place to place and state to state, there are a lot of people that just don't know, because they'll look at you and go, "You're talking about what?" Because they don't realize. They go, "Oh yeah, Flint water." No, I'm not talking about lead. Lead, I can understand. I can deal with that. This is something that, as you just put, Aaron, doesn't leave your body. We're with Aaron Brockovich here on the Steve Gruber Show. Let me ask you something that's just kind of, as we head toward the finish line here. When you were young, you talked earlier about being a kid and drinking water and playing and that sort of thing. Did you ever think that this would be your life out there as a environmental, for lack of a better term, crusader, if you will?
No, I didn't. But I grew up in an environment, and I'm not surprised that it did, that was just so ingrained in my head. My engineer, he actually worked for Texaco, and he would see things that just morally disturbed him. And he would talk to me as a child and drill into my head and sing me songs about water. Water is life. And what we're doing to it is, could be game over. And I know that sounds alarmist, and, you know, everyone will come back and go, "Oh, I mean, you shouldn't sound alarmist and stuff." No, it's time to raise the alarm, okay? And we need to wake up. You can't live without water. I don't care who you are. And so my father just drove this into my head. I can still hear his songs about the importance of water and what it means. It sustains all of life.
Yeah, and let me go over this.
Not surprised.
For anybody that doesn't take this seriously at this point, Aaron, I'll just give them this list again. It increases the risk of many types of cancer. It can harm fetal development, decreases fertility, interferes with the body's hormones. In fact, some women that grew up around Wordsmith Air Force Base, when they ended up being in their early 20s, had complete hysterectomies because they had undersized uteruses and so forth and had all sorts of difficulties. You've probably heard those stories. Can cause cholesterol issues, affects the immune system. I mean, the list of problems here goes on and on and on. And I guess I should say we thank you and applaud you for the work you've done over the course of these last many years, bringing people's attention to the things that really matter, which is the safety, the health, welfare, and safety of themselves and their families.
Well, it's very true. Listen, I'm not going to ever accept that this is so big there's nothing we can do about it. We're all watching a lot of strange things going on right now. And this, we are in a wake-up. You know, I run a parallel. I can't help it. I got to say it because I'm from Kansas, but that's the Wizard of Oz. And somehow we have found our way into those poppy fields and been put to sleep, really, with a false sense of security. And we are waking up. And that is a good place to be. And it's never too late. And it's a daunting task before us. But I'm going to insist, and I will believe till the day I die, if we become proactive, we get involved, and I'll tell you, crap rolls downhill, and it's in everybody's backyard now. Now it's you. Now it's your child's health. All these families, all these mothers begin to rise, and we're going to have to push back. Now, we see what happens when we do that. Change can come about. And we are at that moment in America. We are waking up. It is time to hit that reset. And for every community member that thinks they don't have a voice, that thinks, "Oh, I'm not a doctor or scientist or a lawyer, I couldn't say anything, I say BS." Yes, you do. You have a voice. You are human. You are aware. We are in a day and age where you can get on that Google. You can learn. You can ask questions. You get to city council meetings. You get involved. And you get in there for the fight of your life and your child and our health and welfare. And when we do that, I think we make some successful pushbacks and we can begin a daunting task of cleaning up our environment and making the association that water is us, water is life. And we need to clean it up.
Aaron Brockovich.
We cannot wait anymore.
Aaron Brockovich, very well said. If people want to keep up with what you're doing, where you're going, your travel schedule, anything you write or do, is there a place for them to go?
using my Facebook information out.
You broke up just a little bit there. Yeah, you broke up just a wee bit there. Give us your best place to find you.
My public Facebook page or my email, aaron@brockovich.com. That's how the community of Wolverine's coming. That's the community around Wolverine.
I've got you. Yeah, aaron@brockovich.com and on Facebook.
Correct. I have a public Facebook page. It's just Aaron Brockovich. It'll say official. And we do some really...
All right. Well, Aaron, I greatly appreciate you taking the time to discuss this with us. It's of paramount importance. It means everything. And again, I tip my hat to you. It's been a real honor to talk to you and spend some time with you today. And I look forward to talking to you again soon because this problem isn't going away. So I expect we'll talk again. And until then, Godspeed, my friend.
You too. And I thank you very much for talking about it. I mean, it's just been something that's been in a box way too long. And it's really sad that it's here, but I will forever be optimistic, and I will forever believe in the people. And I know for a fact, when a chemical affects them and their child, it will rise, and they will push back like they've never done before. So I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and keeping the communities aware about what's happening.
Aaron Brockovich, thank you so much.
Thank you.